The effects of the great telecom bust are rippling across the United States. Companies that many people cursed for tearing up city streets and cheered for making their retirement funds skyrocket are in financial trouble. And it's not just companies that are hurting. Investors have watched in horror over the past year as the stocks of firms like Cisco and PSINet have plummeted, and tens of thousands of telecommunications workers have lost their jobs. That includes 600 workers at a brand new Corning plant in Benton Park, Pennsylvania. That factory, just a few miles outside of Scranton, was days away from closing when we visited recently.
It was very, very disappointing to employees. So now, but we're going to go out into the factory property.
Hi, Lou.
How are you doing?
We're doing fine, thank you.
Debbie Samuelson has been manager of this Corning Photonics plant since the factory began production just 15 months ago.
We're going to walk down the hall and I'm going to show you, hopefully somebody will be out there assembling, and I'll give you a sense of what it is that the folks do here.
The devices made here were designed to boost the signal on the fiber optic cables that make up the internet.
Right now what we're doing is we're basically cleaning up production. So at full employment, each of these workstations would have an employee.
On this day, Andrew Johnson is one of a handful of employees left in this cavernous building.
What we're doing right here is these are all components and we're splicing them together. This is a splicer. Use it to splice the fiber together.
Rows of workstations once filled with Johnson's colleagues are already empty. Soon he'll be out of work too.
It's unhappy disappointment, but what could you do? There's nothing you could do. There's nothing they could do. It's just something that happens. It happens every day in America. People work somewhere, lose their jobs. People work somewhere for 20 some years. One day they come in, they don't have a job. Nobody's job secure, no matter who you are. Nobody's.
That's a huge contrast to the outlook workers like Neil Leschek had when they landed these high-tech manufacturing jobs here in the northeastern corner of Pennsylvania, an area once dominated by coal mining.
The way they ramped up, I mean, it looked like, you know, sky was the limit. I mean, it was just going to go. Because when I first started, it just looked so good. The Corning stock was at $100. And then as I'm going through my training, a few weeks, it's like at 200, then at 300, it looked like, you know, it was going to be fantastic. And come December, the companies stopped their orders, and that was it.
This plant is a potent symbol of the speed of the telecom boom and bust. The factory is not even finished yet. Employees inside are preparing for a shutdown. But outside Debbie Samuelson's office window, construction workers are hustling to finish the building so Corning can sell it. How could a smart company like Corning and a whole industry get it so wrong? Plant manager Deb Samuelson.
In the year 1999, Corning could not make sufficient amplifiers to meet the market demand. And so the answer to the problem when you don't have enough manufacturing capacity is you build factories.
This boom originated with the deregulation of local phone markets in 1996. Companies that wanted to sell voice, video, and data services mushroomed overnight. Hardware suppliers like Corning and Lucent couldn't keep up. Firms borrowed heavily, investors happily showered them with cash. But the projected demand for services like high-speed internet turned out to be wildly optimistic. And dot-com firms that were big potential customers vaporized. With no profits in sight, last fall, investors shut off the cash spigot. The boom went bust, and now, says plant manager Deb Samuelson, Corning can't give its product away.
They laugh and say you can get the stuff on eBay now. There are companies that have gone bankrupt, our customers' customers. The large telecom long-distance carriers are in trouble. It has just dried up.
The losses to investors have been staggering. Arye Borkoff, a bond analyst at UBS Warburg, says investors in the high-yield debt market held $120 billion in telecom debt.
Of that debt, approximately half is trading below 50 cents on the dollar, which means that about $60 billion of value of debt has been wiped out based on this telecom debacle.
That suggests investors think many of these companies will default and end up in bankruptcy. But the losses to stock market investors dwarf the bond losses. The fall of telecom stocks has erased $2 trillion in wealth, according to the Wall Street Journal. That's far more than was lost in the dot-com bust. And though the telecom sector represents less than 5% of the total U.S. economy, its collapse has had a disproportionate effect. It's a major reason the United States is skating along the edge of a recession, says James Glenn of the research and consulting firm Economy.com.
Because over the last couple of years, it's been a real engine of growth, and it's been growing so quickly, and this sudden turnaround we're experiencing now is so sharp, it really is having a significant implication on the economy as a whole.
Glenn says about a quarter of the fall in the U.S. growth rate can be traced to the collapse of investment in telecom, and he says the ripple effects from the layoffs will make the impact even greater.
Telecom workers are paid higher than average salaries, and once they get laid off, those regions or metro areas where they get laid off will really feel the brunt of the slowdown.
By Glenn's count, 150,000 U.S. telecom workers have lost their jobs during the current slowdown, more than any other single industry. In Scranton, small businesses, including Gennetti's, a big caterer, are already feeling the effects.
This is our rotisserie oven, and this is an oven, a large oven that actually can cook up to 900 chickens at one time. And one of the few caterers in the area that has such a large oven.
Marguerite Olszewski is the manager here. She says Gennetti's took a big hit when Corning decided to leave town.
Corning had two large Christmas parties booked here, both for 700 people each date, and they were taking three ballrooms of space. Those dates were booked last year. You're talking dollar figure of between $40,000 and $50,000.
Olszewski says not only will her company lose money because of Corning's pullout, but it means less work for her staff of part-timers and fewer sales for the food vendors she buys from. There's a lot of grumbling in this corner of Pennsylvania about Corning's big promises, followed by its quick exit. Plant manager Debbie Samuelson defends the company's intentions.
Many, many smart people did not see this coming, not just within the Corning system, but our customers and our competitors did not see this coming. And so it's hard to blame someone. But as a result of us not seeing this coming, people have been hurt. Real people with real families have been hurt. And as a plant manager, I'm pretty close to those real people. And so I feel a sense of accountability and responsibility to what we did and what the impact is on the community.
The Corning shutdown and that of Finet, another telecom equipment maker here, is a real setback for Scranton. Between the two companies, 1,000 workers will be laid off. And the two firms had expected to eventually hire nearly 3,000 workers here. Former Corning employee Stephanie Jocelyn doesn't look forward to returning to the work she did before Corning came to town.
I work as a waitress in a restaurant in the area, just job after job after job that had no opportunity to move up. I mean, we here, the amount of pay raises that we got, just in the 1 year, I went from making, you know, around $10 to making $14 within 1 year. I mean, everybody's going to be out looking for jobs, and there's not a lot out there. I mean, other than working in another manufacturer, you're not going to find the wages.
Analysts say it's hard to predict when the telecom industry will recover. Most say it will take more than a year. And when it does, its growth rate will likely be a fraction of what it was in the late 1990s. As we'll hear tomorrow, for Scranton, it means further dependence on service sector jobs, a prospect that's not welcomed by many in this town, who for generations have depended on mining and manufacturing for their livelihood.
A big insurance company is going to bring 350 jobs into this area. Average salary, $20,000 a year. And that's supposed to make everybody smile, and it doesn't.